Facebook.com. I'm Uncle Skeeter, inviting you back next week as we help to spread the cheese.
This is Free Voices at CJSF 90.1 FM, talking to you about
Eagle Nation Universal Production Society. We are 10 board of directors, and we are rejoicing for world history. Our show is based on true stories, musical and storytelling, and role-playing, silent crimes broken, very interesting series of show.
And a lot of in-depth oral tradition. We play every Thursday from 3 to 4. Come and join us.
Welcome to Scream Therapy. I'm your host, Jason Schurz. In October of 2018, I found myself in the hospital, sitting across from a psychiatrist who was telling me I had bipolar. I was sent home with a bunch of medication and laid on the couch for a week. I had my iTunes library on shuffle, trying to shake the hornet's nest from my head. Ever since I was a kid, I've been using loud music as a form of therapy. Punk rock and mental health have always been connected. This podcast looks at that connection through the lens of different guests. This is Scream Therapy. Explaining why you would dedicate your life to the punk scene can be an impossible task, especially to people who know very little about the punk subculture. Sometimes they don't even understand its basic principles, that currency is often the byproduct of fulfillment. When Andrew Patrick of the Carolyn discovered punk rock as a youth, it changed his life. He now had a focus, a purpose. It just felt right. The music empowered him. Finding his chosen family in the punk scene brought meaningful relationships and a path towards creativity. Those things hadn't been offered growing up in his rural town. Like so many others, punk transformed Andrew, and it became the driving force in his life.
I'm Andrew Patrick. I play in a band called The Carolyn. And mental health wise, I struggle like many people in this scene, but the music and the community has really like helped me have some sort of foundation to make me not totally lose my mind. And yeah, I got into punk at a really early age. I feel like most of us, it was one of the few things that I was truly interested in. And that continues to be the case as I approach my mid-30s, I guess. Not really. I'm about to be 32.
Still young.
Yeah.
You write about mental health stuff or even just struggles that you had in your songs. You write about overthinking things and where you are in life and some punk themes that come up and other bands that you might be interested in as well.
Yeah, like anyone who pays attention to what we do, we're not like a hyper-political band by any stretch of the imagination. I think maybe some of our views on that stuff makes its way into the lyrics. But yeah, we've always just been really introspective, and it's always been like, I guess, I mean, it might be a trite term or whatever to use, but it's been a, like just a cathartic process for us. So you got to speak your truth, for lack of a better phrase. Like, we just have to get the stuff off our chest in some capacity, and this band is the way we do it.
What drew you to the scene to begin with?
Well, I think at a very like fundamental level, at a really young age, I maybe felt like an outsider or whatever, like the black sheep of my family. And when I came across like classic records, like one of the first punk albums I ever owned was a collection by the Misfits, you know, and I remember just hearing it for the first time. I was like, this is made for me. This is offensive, but super catchy. Like, I don't know. I felt like seen for the first time. That was like the entry point for me. But then as I like got older and got maybe a little bit more socially conscious and politically conscious, this music resonated with me more so than anything else. And don't get me wrong, like I was into a ton of stuff at a semi-early age, I guess. I loved metal and hip hop and dance music, but punk was the constant in my life, for lack of a better term.
Why did you think you were the black sheep of the family?
I mean, I love my family, but we don't share a ton of common interests, you know? I don't know if anyone, like, fully appreciates or gets. That sounds really self-important. I'll say appreciates music in the way that I do, with a few exceptions. And, yeah, just a traditional Southern family and had a good upbringing. Nothing was, like, particularly wrong, but it was hard to relate in some ways, just given what I was into.
And the Misfits, discovering them, you know, being the first, I guess, real punk band that you came across, and yeah. Remember how that felt just opening up. I know for me, I was into skate rock stuff and I was into metal, and then I heard skate punk and I was like, whoa, this is a whole, not just musically, but what they were talking about too.
Well, let me back up a second. See, I gotta be honest. The first punk or punk adjacent thing I discovered at a very young age was Blink. And I think most children of the 90s, that's probably the case. That was like my first introduction to music with like guitars, but Misfits was like, oh my God, like what have I been missing out on? Like, this is the real deal. You know, this felt, it felt scary. It felt edgy. And yeah, I don't know. I was just immediately attracted to it.
Have there been times in your life where you didn't have punk rock or you weren't playing in bands and playing shows?
That's a great question. Actually, like there's never been a time I didn't have punk rock per se. Like it was literally all I've cared about from a young age, but I really didn't start playing in bands and in a meaningful capacity anyway until maybe like my early 20s. I grew up in a semi-rural area where there were not a lot of people into this kind of stuff, and it wasn't until I got out of college, I reunited with some old friends and started writing songs. I was like, we just have to go for this in whatever way that we can. So yeah, the takeaway is like a big portion of my life I wasn't like a part of the community in terms of like being in a band or going and seeing a bunch of bands or anything like that. That didn't come till later.
So when you started doing that, do you remember the shift that you felt like from just being more, I've been listening to it, to playing it?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, I feel like people say this kind of stuff all the time about punk, but it's so true. It's chosen family, you know? And the cool thing about what we do is you get to travel and see people that you normally wouldn't see, and then when you see him at a festival or another show, it's like you pick up right where you left off. I definitely say like the most meaningful relationships that I still have in my life have been forged through music, for sure.
You sort of hinted at punk rock being your biggest interest and what's sort of dominated your interest through your life. I know for me, like if I didn't have punk rock and music, what would I have? You know, I've got other interests, but they don't really drive me like this does.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And I think about that constantly. Like there's stuff that I'm interested in, but there's a difference between being interested or finding something cool and being like truly passionate about it and being like part of your identity. in a way, it's beautiful, but on the other hand, like, it's kind of depressing, you know, especially during COVID times. We're like, we don't know if any of this is ever going to come back in the same way. And so I hope young bands continue to, like, carry the torch and people still keep it going, because it's just been such a defining part of my life.
Well, I'm quite a bit older than you are, and so I often wonder about the whole aging out thing. I don't buy into it. I don't think that people should age out, but I've kind of gone through the phase of having a real life, quote unquote, mm-hmm. and now living the life I want to live, and with punk rock still being a huge part of it. So that's cool, but I guess some people who have that identity for a certain amount of time and then they can't continue on with it, and then where do they go from there?
Age is just a number, and if you get to be as old as I am, like I was saying earlier, I'm like, what age am I again? Am I 35? I don't even, like, after 25, I stopped counting. All I can say is, for my friends and I can't imagine a life in which we wouldn't be interested in this or still do it in some way, shape, or form. And I'm really proud to surround myself with those kind of people.
Yeah, for sure. One of the things that's pretty prominent in punk rock is alcohol consumption. And I know you write some songs about that, and some of the bands that I'm into, like, I think we share a love for bands like the Lawrence Arms and other bands like that, that talk about that kind of stuff. I don't drink, but for me, it's like, where's the line between glorification of it and speaking on it as being part of your life and part of potentially your struggles? It's a fine line for me.
Yeah, no, that's a great call out. I definitely think the younger you are, it's much easier to glorify. I'll say that. And it's almost like a point of pride. And now, for me, it's very much medicine, which I understand can be a super dangerous thing. So fortunately enough, I'm not at the point where it really, like, affects my life in the way that it does many who really struggle with it. I try not to abuse it too much. I'll say this, being the age that I am now, it's more top of mind now, and I try to be careful, and abstaining from it is something that I definitely sometimes struggle with, for sure.
Do you find that that's one of the things that you have to do to stay stable? I'm asking you because I used to do it when I was younger, but I'm curious to know. You mentioned medicine, right?
Not day to day, like, you know, it's not like, oh, 8 a.m., I got to have this to, like, function or anything like that, but it's all too easy to use it as a crutch. And also, when we're fortunate enough that we're not having to, you know, embrace this no backup plan. We're on the road 11 months out of the year. Like, we just play music as much as our lives allow or whatever. But if I was doing that, like, man, I don't know what my cadence or habits would be with it. I would imagine that it could get pretty dark pretty quick, because it's not an easy life. We've got a very small taste of it. And, like, living in a van, I totally understand why people rely on drugs and alcohol, because, yeah, it's hard on your mind and your body.
Yeah. Well, I was interviewing Chad Price recently. He was on the show, and he was talking about how when he was very heavily into alcohol, the tours that they did became just about the party. There was the music kind of became a secondary thing.
Sure, yeah.
I found that to be really sad, and it was really inspiring to see that he had turned the exact opposite around, and he's clean now, and the music is the thing, and he's able to stay healthy that way.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. Honestly, more power to people who are like that, you know.
So tell me a bit about the songs. Some of the songs reminded me of the same sort of tone as, like, a Spanish love song. Some darker and sadder topics, but just a real, like, positive punch to it. And that's a really hard thing to do, I think, to balance the happy and the sad. How's that been for you?
I'm all about juxtapositions, and given the fact that our music overall is pretty dark, there's got to be some sort of silver lining. You know, you can't just sit there. I don't have the desire to bum people out the whole time. If you don't have a glimmer of hope or something to latch onto, it's like, just at a high level, like, what are you doing? I try to have some sort of positivity or some sort of keep going message, however subtle, in the majority of the songs.
Are there bands that inspire you to do that, or you've seen or you've gotten the same feeling from?
Yeah, I think most of the stuff that I'm into that has inspired me over the years or whatever has an element of that. maybe an obvious example, but one of the only ones that comes to mind right now is Alkaline Trio. I mean, majority of their catalog is super dark or whatever, but there's a pretty strong and healthy element of humor to it. Some of the tongue-in-cheek nature of their lyrics, it's almost implicit to the listener, like, hey, things are going to be all right, even if they're totally not all right currently. You know, yeah. So that type of thing has always inspired me, and I hope that this band, like, implores that on some level.
I think one of the greatest things about punk rock is just that people are able to speak their own truth in their own minds, and they have such different styles, like you said, Alkaline Trio, Spanish Love Songs. I mean, Hot Water Music is a band that's also tackling some really hard emotional, personal subjects, but doing it in such a, like, shifting into second gear and getting over the hill sort of a way.
Right.
It's neat to see that, because I think a lot of people just think that all punk bands sing about the same thing or sing about it in the same way.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've always gravitated towards the bands that you've described where, I don't know, there's just a human quality to the music, you know. It doesn't, of course, I love politically conscious and politically charged bands, but listening to a whole record where they're just angry or whatever, I don't know, that just doesn't totally speak to me at this stage in my life.
How do you transition from being in your early 30s going forward with punk rock, and do you see yourself being in a band, you know, as long as you can, or do you find that you need to move on to the next sort of step in your life? I know some people consider it to be, it's not a phase, but
it's a moving target for sure, because there's definitely been times where I'm like, man, is this really, like, worth it anymore in some ways? And the answer is always yes. You know, I think everyone is entitled to a bad day, or maybe they're not feeling inspired or whatever, but are we still going to be playing these same songs 10 years from now or whatever? I don't have the answer to that question yet, but I truly, it is like cheesy or whatever is this sounds like, I can't imagine a world in which I'm not playing music with those dudes in some way. I have every intention of still keeping this going. I still want to just be doing it with my best friends.
Can you remember a time when punk rock, let's say, rescued you or pulled you out of a really dark place?
Every day? I don't know. Like everybody, life is always peaks and troughs, but it's been the constant through all of it, particularly the really dark times. I haven't had anything like too traumatic, relatively speaking, in my life. I mean, we all have trauma, but if I ever felt like I didn't have anyone to talk to, or just felt super alienated by whatever, the best cure for that is a record. Always. Punk has definitely pulled me out of really, really dark places more than once.
Do you have any favorite memories of punk rock and being in the band, and any favorite shows?
Kind of going back to Alkaline Trio, I guess this was technically my first, in quotes, punk show. It was 2008, before the first chorus, like just being in the front row, I was like, I'm not the same person anymore. That really set the tone for the rest of my life.
A lot of people have after show depression. I remember going to Fest and coming back and having the Fest flu and being sick and also being really down about it being over.
Yeah.
Is that something you've experienced yourself?
Oh, yeah. I want to say the worst time. I mean, I've had it multiple times. The worst it's ever been was the first time we came back from Germany. It was a total adventure, and the mentality is so different over there, and people are super accommodated. It was just a completely, I'd never experienced anything like that. And all the shows, for the most part, were really, really great. That was a low point for a couple of weeks, but we were fortunate enough to still do some cool stuff that year. And eventually we went back. So that was cool.
Nice. For me, I feel like, because I put on shows as well, but it feels like you're always chasing that next show. That yeah. Feeling does sometimes scare me a bit, because I feel like, oh, what if there is no next show? But it's also really cool to know that that's always going to be there, and, you know, there'll always be another show.
Yeah. You know, you just got to know where to find it. My age, maybe it gets a little bit harder, but if you look closely enough, there's always something going on, and you can pop up and still see compelling bands. And yeah, I agree.
What was it like being in Germany?
We did like a 2-week run the first time, and it was amazing. I want to say we started the tour in Berlin, and it was the first time playing out of the country and going to a city like that. It was just so gnarly and in a good way, and played a few festivals. And I think one of the fundamental differences over there is like so many of the venues and the shows are actually funded by the state. It's a foreign concept for Americans like myself, but you know, the state actually in some ways cares about the people, you know, and their tax dollars are used for some good things. And I would definitely say the arts in Germany, that definitely applies. And all the venues, they had mattresses and a place to sleep for traveling bands and food, and it's here for you, you know? And so that alone, you just feel appreciated. You obviously find elements of that within the States, but it's not standard operating procedure, to use a corporate term. You know, it's harder to find.
What do you feel is the purpose that punk has given you? What has it taught you?
It's taught me myriad things as far as like the subject matter of a lot of the lyrics of the bands that inspire me. But I think it's just ultimately, it's given me the ultimate purpose. It's like the driving force in everything that I do. Being creative, I attribute my life's value to making art. Punk is the lane that I picked. I guess that's like the easiest way to say it. Again, might sound cheesy or whatever. I'm mostly thankful for the relationships I formed and the people it's introduced me to.
For a lot of people, punk rock is a good way to process feelings, emotions.
For sure. It goes back to being creative. It's my method of getting all that stuff out. And I think that's common. Like, it's part of the human experience, right? Like, you don't even have to be into music to get all those emotions out. It's just, for me, it's what resonates, and it's my method, I guess.
Let's circle back to the Misfits and, well, Blink before that.
Sure.
And the feeling that you got when you first discovered this music, and probably after the Misfits, realizing, oh, this is not just the music, like pop music, this is actually a culture, it's a community.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why I was as angsty of a child as I was, but like when I heard those bands for the first time, I was like, finally, like I've been feeling this way for years, you know, why have I not heard this until now, despite the fact that I was like 9 or whatever, you know. There was nothing like it, especially at the time. If you feel so misunderstood and you stumble across art like that, I mean, yeah, I don't know. It kind of speaks for itself. There's no better feeling.
How do you think you're misunderstood, like when you were younger?
Again, growing up in the area that I did, sure, like I like sports, but not as much as the other kids at school or my neighbors or whatever. And from an early age, like, yeah, I was religious to appease my parents, but I did not believe it at any stage in my life. You know, you're kind of just going through the motions, I think, when you're younger and trying to figure out who you are, but it felt like a void was like finally filled when I came across the music that I did.
Did it take you moving to a bigger place for that to really settle in?
As far as like feeling understood by others, like sort of, I got like satisfied a little bit more when I just moved away, like period, not necessarily to like a particularly larger city, but I finally, like playing in this band, I think has just naturally brought me in contact with people who are like, yeah, I see you wearing XYZ t-shirt, we're already friends, you know. And that, you know, it never really happened to me before in my life.
If you were to talk to someone that wasn't a punk, how would you explain what you do? Because you're always playing in bands, you're always doing shows, or sometimes you're going away and playing shows. And I guess, like you and I said before, the dominant thing in our lives, how would you explain it to somebody that doesn't know anything about it?
Well, my family and random people will ask me sometimes or whatever, and like I tend to find that I don't know how to explain it very well if they don't have context for the music, because it seems like, you know, for your average person, they're like, well, if you're not making money or playing to a sold out club or whatever every night, like, why do you do this? And it's something that I think until you've experienced it, you can't really, like, there's no way to really articulate it. So yeah, I wish I had a better answer, but it's just, you got to know, you got to have the shine or whatever.
With the Carolyn, being in that band and with your friends and playing in it, what has that meant to you over the last few years?
Oh, dude, I mean, it's sounds like a generic answer, but everything.
That was my conversation with Andrew Patrick of The Carolyn, thecarolyn.bandcamp.com. For more episodes of Screen Therapy, go to screentherapyhq.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. Big news, the Screen Therapy book is available now. Screen Therapy, A Punk Journey Through Mental Health, tells my story and the stories of others who use punk as a catalyst for mental health. Like this podcast, it links the community-minded punk scene with the mental wellness of the punks who belong to it. To order the book, go to screentherapyhq.com. For merch, check out screentherapy.threadless.com. Okay, enough promoting. It's time for some thanking. Thank you for listening to Screen Therapy. Doing this podcast and talking to folks about punk rock and mental health has been a crucial part of my own mental stability, and it means so much to me that you're out there listening. Screen Therapy is created in the Cathet region of coastal British Columbia, Canada, on the traditional territory of the Klahaman Nation. Contact me at screentherapyhq.com or email me at screentherapypodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Let's talk about punk rock and mental health. Until next time, take care and be well.
Every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., tune in to Department Uno to hear the latest and greatest from the CJSF playlist, featuring all new music from local, Canadian, and international artists. Fresh releases from the music department every week on Department Uno, only on CJSF 90.1 FM.